You're listening to the Oberlin United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. We pray that God will use this message to speak to you and help you on your faith journey. We invite you to join us next week in person or online at online.oberlinumc.org/live, Facebook, or YouTube. We hope you enjoy this message.
I'm reading from the book of Acts this morning, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house while where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the other parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts in Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues, amazed and perplexed as they ask one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
While you're still standing, listen to these words from the Gospel of John, chapter 7. And I'm going to have to read them from the screen because that's just the way it is today. On the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and shouted, "All who are thirsty should come to me. All who believe in me should drink, as the scripture said concerning me. Rivers of living water will flow out from within me." Jesus said this concerning the Spirit. Those who believed in him would soon receive the Spirit, but they hadn't experienced the Spirit yet, since Jesus hadn't yet been glorified. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. There are times, glorious times, wonderful times, exuberant times when the Spirit overwhelms us and we're set on fire. We're shouting in languages we really don't know. There are times when the joy spills from us and the laughter pours from us, and we can't help but be carried away by the wonder and the glory of the God we worship. Those words in Acts chapter 2 seem overly familiar, and somewhat tame from this distance of more than 2,000 years. Try to put yourself in that room again. Recall the despair and the fear that soaked through all the layers they sought to cover themselves with. Remember the emptiness, that gripped them as they tried to avoid thinking about the rest of their lives without this presence among them. They had a taste of life, of living fully, of being alive like they never knew was possible. And now it was gone. They avoided eye contact with the others in the room, afraid of swirling down the drain again into that void that threatened to consume them every time they took a breath. Just then, a sound shook them out of their stupor. It sounded like a freight train, if they had a clue what a freight train was. Like a desert windstorm, blasting the sand into a scouring force, exposing the bones with surprising speed. And yet this sound, this roar sounded different somehow. It was not like an oppressive, angry threat, but rather like hope. Hope? A wind-like hope? It blew through their despair like the wind drying sheets on a line, like freshly washed sheets fluttering in this wind, lifted into a new day, drying their tears. They were like kites flying high in the azure sky, tethered only by their faith in the one who was gone, and yet still somehow present with them and in them. Remember feeling joyous certainty? Remember flying on the wind of faith and for a moment believing in eternity like you could feel it bearing you up with grace? And the fire. Remember the fire. Remember the fire you had in your bones, that you had to let it out in laughter and movement? Luke writes that it was divided tongues as a fire that settled on each of them. The use of the word divided is not how we would say it today. It's not a separation or individualism. This is inclusion. The tongues reached out, wanting to gather in, to bind together, to make us one. This was an individual experience that had a corporate reality. They were each in this together. They were all as if they were one. I wish for that today, that we could all be one rather than right or left. We could be in the center, searching and seeking God. This is a fire that unites, a blaze that leaps from one to another and to all. This is a fire that builds up, not one that destroys, unless what is destroyed is all that would keep us from leaning into the joy of this day. And all of this was glorious and unexpected. The farming community will appreciate these words. Pentecost was originally an agricultural festival celebrating the first harvest on the growing season. Later, it became a commemoration of the giving of the land of Canaan to the people of Israel. And then even later, it morphed into an observance of the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. All are important times of celebration, but nothing to indicate the power that was unleashed on that day. I'm sure it caught the disciples by surprise too. They found themselves in an encounter with God that literally blew them away. The day of Pentecost came like the sound of a violent wind, Luke tells us. It was fire. It was power. It was chaos. It was noise. But it was also meaning. And it was hope. And then to be filled with the power to be, the power to grow, the power to love as Christ loved. That's what Pentecost is all about. It's not simply a birthday commemoration, not just a marker along the road, a milestone passed. It's a moment of power, an offering of transformation. So how about it? Ready to come to church on Sunday? Who knows who you might be once you've been windswept by the power of the Holy Spirit? Except, sometimes it's hard to rise to the occasion of this kind of Pentecost. It's so much easier to watch and be a spectator. But the breath within us isn't a mighty wind. It's more like a sigh of pain or sadness and grief. Maybe of uncertainty or fear. Not a gust, but a sigh. Just a sigh. And we all know that sighing requires breathing, active breathing. Sigh. Maybe the sigh is more than weariness and exasperation. Maybe there is a hint of contentment. Can such things be? Contentment, especially today, it seems, is a rare commodity. Often frustratingly out of reach. If there always seems to be work to be done, miles to travel, burdens to bear, struggles to endure, and on and on and on. Contentment isn't a word that speaks into our experience these days. Life is too hectic, too shallow, too empty, too hungry. Except then, maybe sometimes, once in a while, like a breath, like a cool breeze on a sweltering day, it is just there, from somewhere. Sigh. Remember these words? When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me," these words are for us, "so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Two words. Or rather, the same word twice. Peace. Peace I leave with you. Peace be with you. It sounded the same, really. Not much to distinguish between them except life and death. The first was on the threshold of death. The second was in the glaring light of the resurrection. That's what separated them, the last breath. He breathed his last, Luke says, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." He didn't speak it. He cried it in a loud voice, a voice choked with pain, a voice gasping for the breath that wouldn't come because of the suffocation caused by hanging on a cross. Somehow in agony, he pushed himself up the spike driven through his feet, straining the two nails through his hands so he could catch enough breath to cry in a loud voice. Then Luke says he breathed his last. Sigh. Except he didn't. He breathed again. He breathed some more. "Peace be with you." He breathed upon them. Breathe peace. Receive the Holy Spirit. The Spirit he commended to God. The Spirit returned to us in a breath. Peace. Sigh. Breathe on us, God. In the heat of the moment, in the struggle of living and loving and finding our way in a complicated world, breathe on us. Give us peace. Not a peace that resolves every issue. Not a peace that fixes everything that is broken, that removes responsibility or covenant, that answers every question, that removes every doubt. Breathe on us that we might find peace enough to continue on the journey which we find ourselves. Peace enough to work toward resolution. Peace enough to mend the broken, or that allows us to limp with grace and confidence. Peace that breathes through our responsibilities and covenants. Peace that lifts up and binds together. Peace that casts out fear. Perfect love. Peace casts out fear. Sigh. Where does it come from, this peace? Is it self-generated? Are there disciplines we can practice, rituals to perform? We can't create this peace. We receive it. Like a breath that comes from elsewhere, from beyond us. The rituals and the disciplines are designed to shape us into vessels better able to hold on to the peace that breathes into us. It's a gift, a joy, an unencountered experience, a cool breeze that fills the sails and sends us across the horizon into new worlds of love and joy. A promise from one side of life is fulfilled from the other. A description, an image, a story told to a hurting and hungry heart becomes a wind of change in a new world. He breathed on them. "Peace be with you." Receive the spirit of holiness, of service, of mission and ministry, of love. Receive it, and then love. Love from the strong center of peace, from the contentment of faith, of putting your hands in the source of love and joy and peace. Lean into it. Trust it. Receive it. sigh. He breathed on them, on you, and on me. Let us pray. Breathe on us, breath of God. Fill us with life anew, that we may love what you love and do what you would do. Breathe on us, breath of God, till we are wholly thine, till all this earthly part of us glows with the fire divine.